Well, good afternoon, everyone. We've got a full house. That's great. Up to our meeting, it is 1:30 PM on Monday, October 3, 2022, and time to reconvene the regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Toni Olson, Board President. To my right, we have Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, Vice President. To my left, Commissioner Sidney Logan, Secretary. Further to my right, we have Ann Spangler, General Counsel. Guy Payne, Assistant General Manager, Distribution and Engineering Services. To my left, we have Allison Morrison, Assistant Clerk of the Board. And with us this afternoon, we have Jenny Rich and Morgan Stoltzer, both Deputy Clerks of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. And a reminder, please turn off and mute your cells or other electronic devices. Copies of this afternoon's agenda are located by the entrance door at the deputy clerk's table. Do we have any items to add to this afternoon's agenda, commissioners?
Yes, Madam President, we have item 6B, add act places a resolution authorized investment of district monies in the local government investment pool.
Thank you. I'll take it up at that time. Comments from the public this afternoon is agenda item 3, and that is when the board will hear comments for items that are not on the listed agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons shall be recognized to speak from sign-up cards that are at the table by the entrance to the room. If joining, I've got the 5 minutes in. If joining us by Zoom, please raise your hand. Click raise your hand, and by phone, dial *9. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you're from. Please remain at the podium while you're speaking and address the commissioners, not the audience. If you've got documents for the board, again, please leave them with the deputy clerk, and she will ensure that we receive them. And for this board, please note that all motions have an automatic silent second, and that ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for further discussion. I'll now ask you to join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will now move on to agenda item 2, recognition and declarations. We look forward to this as well. And this month we are recognizing as the employee of the month for October, Jackie Morales. Tracy Trujek is with us this afternoon, and she will introduce Jackie to the board.
Thank you. So I'm a manager of customer service, and I manage our frontline account control and office tech teams. Jackie is a part of our frontline team, and she currently works on our energy assistance desk. Jackie was hired in January of 2013. At the CSR in training. I remember meeting her very early on in her training, working with her, and noticing early that she was going to be a great asset to the customer service team. With our customers, she was warm and bubbly, friendly, and she communicated with compassion and professionalism. In October 2014, she joined the frontline team to work with customers face to face. And a month later was certified as a bilingual CSR, much needed skill for our community. So that further improved the customer experience for Spanish speaking customers. In addition to her direct work with customers on the front line, Jackie is also certified on the deposit desk, the discount desk, the owner agent desk, and energy assistance, which she's working out. In her years at the district, Jackie has helped countless customers in the same compassionate and professional manner. 3 years ago, she joined the frontline EAP desk with her team member, Jimmy Contreras, excuse me. They work together traditionally in partnership with Snohomish County Energy Assistance, helping customers who apply for the LIHEAP funds, and also to helping them with seeing if they qualify for our income qualified program and anything else they can do to help customers keep their power on. This past year, in response to the high customer debt accrued during the pandemic, more programs were developed and available, and Jackie and Jamie were essential in partnering with other agencies and our customers. In particular, last year and into this year, the Arrearage Management Program, better known as AMP, and the partnership with Workforce Snohomish began. AMP was a PUD matching program, and Workforce Snohomish had money they were using to help renters pay their back rent, and they were also they also had money that they wanted to put towards customers, their renters that were behind in their utility bills. Jackie was integral in developing the reporting and the tracking tools necessary to accomplish both of these enormous tasks, and they were huge, the amount of work that was done. In the end, PUD matched nearly $70,000 with customers who joined the AMP program and made payments on their accounts within a 6 month period. The Workforce Snohomish project completed with more than $2 million pledged for PUD customers who applied. This was a massive number of pledges that required a massive amount of work to complete. This represents just a small portion of what Jackie has accomplished in her time here at the PUD. With the important work that she performs for our customers, she often stays late and makes sure it gets done. These two projects last year could not have been completed with as much success had we not had her specific skills to get them organized and up and running with so much efficiency. Workforce Snohomish, after the project was done, informed us that the partnership that was built between them and the PUD was the best one out of all of its partnerships with the other utilities that they were working with. This was largely accomplished by the hard work and dedication by our EAP team. Nearly every time I check in with Jackie on her one-on-one, she comments on how much she loves working here. She also loves the work that she does and the people that she works with. And I can see that she is genuine every time she says it. She loves what she does. And I can say with confidence that everyone who ever works closely with Jackie feels the same about her. She's always been an absolute pleasure to work with. So just a couple quotes from her coworkers to wrap up. She is a formatting master, an Excel genius, and has made our job so much more efficient. She gets pulled in many different directions and often goes with a smile on her face. Always, not often, always, sorry. Jackie provides extraordinary service to everyone she meets. Jackie has been phenomenal in implementing these new programs. And this last one really says it best. She is truly an amazing coworker who I feel should be recognized for her continued dedication to providing outstanding customer service to our community. So I'm very glad to have the honor today of celebrating Jackie for Employee of the Month for October.
Come on up,
Jackie. Into the front.
Yeah. Well, I'll get started while they just come up here. So you've managed to do something that the three of us can't do, which is fill the room with people.
Oh.
Look at all these people. They're not here probably for the budget presentation.
We thought they were.
Sorry, Sarah. So thank you so much for what you do and your team does. I mean, I'm always bragging about our CSRs.
Yeah.
They really are exceptional in the customer service world. But then you take the pandemic and all the work that needed to do to help our customers keep the lights on, and then now to recover those funds and help them find assistance. So it's huge. So
We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Did you teach you that color? That's a cool color.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Here, you have,
my color?
You have some pink team beauty swag.
More blue.
Jackie, speaking other languages is one of the most important things that anybody can do. This has been a big, big part of my life as a language teacher and so forth. So being an interpreter, being able to do that is huge. I'm so grateful to you, and we are, for what you offer and what you give every day. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I get the best one of all.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry. This is great. This is so open and friendly.
Jamie took the picture.
Yeah, it reaches out to you. It scrims up.
Can you set yourself up here?
Oh,
jeez. Can you get a picture?
Oh, yeah.
Now, a couple of things from old Tony. Outstanding customer care. When I heard about them, I got a better understanding of the complexities and the magnitude. But Jackie, you need to know that you know, you can get involved in your day-to-day stuff, but the work that you and your teams do is critical to how our community thinks of us. And it wouldn't happen without that. And I often speak to this, even within our community, within our service territory, within the region, the state, on a national level, Snohomish County PUD is highly respected. And that doesn't happen with a snap of a finger. That happens with the quality of work like you do for the customers that we're serving. Kudos to you.
It's irreplaceable.
So now what are we doing?
Oh, we're going to take a picture.
Thank you.
You're one that's not so much taller.
I know, I'm getting short. Yeah, I'm getting shorter too, so.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm going to do a couple.
One, two, three.
Great. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Having a mass exodus. Sometimes they do. Okay. We are now moving on to agenda item 3, comments from the public. And this is a time when our customers or other folks can address the board on items that are not on the published agenda. And I have a blue card from Mr. Keeler. Would you step up to the microphone, please? And you've left, and Mr. Keeler has left some information for us at our stations.
About water.
Yeah.
My name is Stephen Keeler, K-E-E-L-E-R, a resident of Edmonds, Washington. Good afternoon to all. Good afternoon, commissioners. The backdrop for my presentation today is, as you saw, on the New York Times. 1988 article on the front page warned us all that global warming has begun, an expert told the U.S. Senate. So what about current science? I thought today we'd start with tides and tide gauges, which reflect directly on sea levels. The media has a way of, on occasion, reminding us all that sea level rise is accelerating. So perhaps we are all doomed. Or we can look at current climate science. Your cover page shows the tide gauge from Port Angeles, Washington. And this was printed a week ago, so it is current. There are decades of data on tide levels for this station. And I've highlighted what's really the important takeaway on the cover page. The data collected since the mid-1970s for this tide gauge shows that what's happening with respect to sea level is equivalent to a change of decimal point 11 feet in 100 years. And this data is subject to a error possibility that is plus or minus 0.75 millimeters a year. It's important to keep what's going on in your mind as the media tries to remind you of the catastrophic possibilities. And this is one way to do it. In the past, I think you've seen, all three of you have seen this pre-COVID. Maybe Commissioner Wolf, maybe you haven't. I can't remember, I'm sorry. But this year, in addition to page one, I've included relative sea level trends for the North Pacific. And the explanation for that data is on page two. And then page three is interesting because it shows tide gauge stations in California, Oregon, and Washington. And you can compare Port Angeles to what's going on the West Coast. In closing, commissioners, I would remind each of you that consensus is not science. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keeler. Do we have anyone else with us in the audience? Allison, do we have anyone Zoom or on the phone?
No.
Oh, thank you. We will now move on to agenda item 4A, approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of September 20, 2022. 4B, bid awards, professional service contracts and amendments. 4C, consideration of certification, ratification, and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Do we have any questions? But do we have anyone in the audience or calling in with questions on this item?
Nobody calling.
All right. Commissioners, do we have any questions on the consent agenda?
I have none.
I have none.
Well, for once, I don't either. I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We will now move on to agenda item 5, public hearing. 5A, open the 2023 proposed budget hearing. I will now convene a public hearing on the proposed 2023 budget. Do we have Scott virtually?
He's going to be on the phone now.
All right. We will have Scott with us virtually, and I believe you're...
We have Sarah Vaughn here with...
Well, I was getting you now. Thank you. All right, Sarah.
Scott, where did you want to kick this off, or would you like me to?
Yeah, if you can hear me, let me make just a couple of comments. Can you hear me okay?
Louder, please.
I'm sorry?
A little louder, please.
Oh, gotcha. So Scott Jones, the chief financial officer at the district, and my apologies for not being there in person. I'm quarantined for a couple of days. I want to mention before Sarah starts, just a couple of things. We've got a few items that I think are going to come up in conversation later, including BPA, and we're prepared to talk about that in a few minutes. But Sarah's got a very high-level presentation here that you'll recall is an early introduction to the budget. We'll dive deeper into the budget in November with a couple of presentations over a couple of commission meetings, and then head toward an approval in December. One thing to note, I've been working on budgets for many, many years at multiple companies. I would say this year's budget, it has a tremendous amount of uncertainty. And I think it's worth saying that out loud, with supply chain, with inflation, with labor pressures, there's just a lot of uncertainty here. We've done a tremendous amount of work to keep at least a current proposed rate increase, and it's a very small one, and it's obviously subject to your thoughts and feedback over the next couple of months, but it's much lower than inflation. We're seeing numbers, you know, an inflation at 6 or 7 or 8%. We're trying to hold a rate increase steady at something small, and we've proposed a 2% for now. We think there's a little bit of upward pressure in a couple of places from a revenue standpoint, but we definitely see upward pressure on cost. And we've done a lot of work among the leadership of the district to try to do as much cost management as we could, and really came to you with a budget that has already had a tremendous amount of cuts. But anyway, so please take this in context as Sarah does her presentation, and then we'll be happy to talk more later on. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
It's been a minute since I've done this. There we go. Well, thanks. Thank you, Scott, for the question. As he said, this is the first of three of the public budget hearings. No decisions required today. This is just for discussion and information. We will be asking for approval on December 6th. So just to kind of jump in, as you know, we have a great county that we serve. We have over 20 cities that we serve, or about 150,000 people and 25,000 businesses. And really our main goal with the budget and with all we do is to provide safe, reliable, and affordable power and water. And that is really the focus of this presentation today. This slide is just kind of just some highlights of the three budgets, but this is also a time to just maybe brag a little bit about the district. And one thing I really, really like about my job in this budget is that I get to work with so many different people across the district doing so much good work. And you know, just today you heard load forecast information and information from the IRP, and we work with the water system and just everybody across the district to pull together, and this is really the result. So it's a great thing to be a part of. We'll be spending a little more time on these individual numbers in the next presentation. So this is just a quick highlight of what is in our three budgets this year. So I'm gonna start with a little bit of just some electric system highlights. And Scott kind of already alluded to this a little bit. So, but really this budget is a combination of some really good cost management. We're planning on using a little bit of bond proceeds, and we have a small general rate increase. And this is helping us address some of the things that we've been seeing in our environment, inflation, supply chain issues. We also just have our normal aging infrastructure and other cost pressures. So there's been a lot of work that's been done to try to help mitigate all of these impacts. Scott discussed a little bit, we've done a lot of prioritization of some of the initial submissions. We've made some reductions, a lot of deliberations and reprioritization of some projects. We are planning on using $58 million of bond proceeds. We're not planning on issuing any new debt. So this is using the debt that we've issued in 2021 and 2022. So this is what will be, that was our plan. And then as Scott mentioned, we are proposing a general rate increase of 2%, which would be effective in April. And this of course will be subject to a public hearing. A little bit about our reliability. We've talked about it. We have a $268 million operating maintenance budget, which majority of it is to provide a safe and reliable system. This, of course, covers many, many things, many departments, but we really wanted to focus on the maintenance and that we do on our assets, because that's just such a large part of what we do. And every time we put this slide together, I'm always kind of surprised at how much we have out there. We have 95 substations, which we have to maintain and monitor. We have 658 either equipment pieces or vehicles. We have to maintain them, we have to fuel them and provide maintenance. We have over 96,000 transformers out there in our system, which also need to be maintained or replaced. Almost 113,000 poles. This is the number that always blows me away. That's just whenever I drive around, I just think, wow, that's like we have a lot of infrastructure to maintain. And then we have 6,300 miles of distribution and 327,000 miles of transmission lines, which also need to be maintained. We have to manage the trees on them. So we just have a large infrastructure in which we are trying to keep reliable. Of course, here at the PUD, we care a lot about our environment. We've got a number of energy efficiency programs, just to name some of the things that we do to help save our customers money and to reduce our load. So the 23 budget includes $12.3 million in energy efficiency incentives, and this is help our customers use less energy and lower their power bills. Of course, we're going to fund our power. This is the largest line item in our budget. We have $343 million in purchased power and generation expenditures. So this is obviously to make sure that we have power when we need it. We have a great power supply group that does a lot of work, and I know you hear from them throughout the year. And almost two-thirds of the power comes from Bonneville. So of course, we pay close attention to that. So that's about $241 million in our 2023 budget. We'll be talking a little bit about the generation system. So this is our own owned hydroelectric, and we're planning on spending about $27 million on that in 2023. And of course, we also have in our portfolio some other renewable power contracts. We've got wind, landfill gas, and biomass, and the total of those is about $39 million in 2023. So we have quite an expansive portfolio. We have a large capital program this year. So this is really what I think of as funding for our future. So we have $163 million capital budget in 2023. And really the three main focuses are to really make sure that we're meeting our future energy demands, that we're keeping up with our new technologies and our customer growth. One of the largest areas that's not one single project is our infrastructure investment. So this is just basically just keeping our grid solid. We have several programs, some that are substations that are being built to meet new load, and also just continuing to maintain our large assets, specifically our pole and underground cable. So the total funding for those programs is $53 million in 2023. We also have a few large projects in the 23 budget. Of course, you're very familiar with the Connect Up budget. Funding in 2023 is going to be about $20 million, and we are planning on using bond proceeds to pay for the majority of the 2023 budget for that. Also, as you know, we're building our new North County office, which is going to be in construction in 2023. We're planning on spending about $30 million of the capital budget, and that's also going to be funded primarily through bond proceeds. Next, I'm going to take just a really quick look at our generation system. So just as a reminder, any of the power that's generated by the generation system is purchased by the electric system, and we use it to serve our customers. And the generation system budget is unique from the electric system. They're working to maintain the hydro systems that we have here at the district, and they're focused on long-term strategic planning for the generation system and also maintaining habitat and reliability. Their O&M budget for 2023 is about $9.5 million, and that's funding primarily just keeping our hydro projects going, the staff, the maintenance, and the upgrades. I'll talk more in our next presentation about projects in the generation system. They've got about $6 million in capital funding for projects such as replacing cone valves, and so there's several projects like that that are just kind of smaller generation capital projects to keep the systems.
What are those? Valves?
Cone valves.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I would not be able to explain to you what that
is. I didn't pick up on
that. Next, we have our water system budget. They're more similar to the electric systems. They have to deal with both the revenue side and the expenditure side. And the water system budget also includes a little bit of long-term borrowing, and they do have a small general rate increase in there to also address inflation, supply issues, and they also have the city of Everett, who's passing on costs to us, which I'll talk about in 1 second. So they are planning on potentially issuing some bonds to help pay for some capital in 2023. And they are proposing a general rate increase of 2%. This will be effective in January. And again, this will be subject to a public hearing and board approval. So the city of Everett, you've probably briefed a little bit on this, has they've already approved a 2% rate increase to us, which will be effective in January. And they are considering some additional increases, which would have an impact on the district and especially the water purchase power. So that's something that we're keeping an eye on, and that will be revisited as we learn more information. We do have a pretty large capital budget in water this year. They've got some main extensions, and they're also putting in a new reservoir in the FIAC system, and then they're also going to be have some AMI and conversion costs as well. So here's a look at the three budgets. I will be spending obviously more time on the next meeting. I'll be doing some comparisons to 22, and we will be talking a little bit about what has changed and what some of the assumptions are in these numbers. But this is, as of now, the proposed budget that we'll be bringing to you. So our next meeting, the November 1st, will be where we do the majority of the presentation. We'll be doing all the comparisons of the systems. November 15th, if we have any proposed changes of any new information that we've had, we will come to you with those. And then December 6th, we'll be asking for approval.
You're all done. And I do appreciate and I had anticipated this was going to be a tough one with a lot of uncertainty. And I do appreciate you sharing that with the board as we move through this process. And just so you and Scott know, I hear you.
You know, I had a question. But maybe it's best about bottom and how much we're going to be getting back to that impact. But maybe it's best saved to be drilled down into the generation.
Most likely, but I mean, we're happy to hear it, and then we know if we're addressing it or not.
I'm curious. I know the new Bonneville's returning money to its customers. I don't know how much we're getting. How much has that impacted our budget?
Well, the proposed budget today does not have any. We don't have that information solid at this moment. So, but if we know more by the time we do our presentation, we'll make sure that we let you know the decisions and how it's impacting the budget.
Great. Yeah. But I know it can be challenging to spend all of capital. We feel this is a realistic capital budget that the team will be able to guide.
Guy Penny, assistant general manager, distribution and engineering. We have a good idea of our burn rates and what it's going to take to get the capital work done that's in the budget. And we're confident that we can achieve that amount of work. So not an easy lift, but absolutely. And I'm getting the work done.
And then just a comment, 2% is modest. I noticed Seattle is looking like, I think, 5.7.
Yes.
Tacoma is like 4.2 or something. So it's nice to not have any rate increase, but thank you for doing a budget that keeps it a modest increase.
Yeah. Commissioner Logan, this is Scott. If I can make a quick comment on the BPA, if you can hear me okay.
Yes, I hear you.
Jason and Garrison, I think, are in the audience, and they can speak a little bit more to the mechanics of how that's going. We definitely expect that to play out, and we think it's going to be a nice uptick in cash going in and through the 2023 year. I'll reiterate, we've taken, not that this is the perfectly right answer, but we've taken a pretty conservative approach to the 2023 budget so far. And I think as the BPA stuff comes to fruition, we can either include it in the budget and probably use it as some additional reserve cushion just with the uncertainty that we've got with supply chain and some other things, or we can leave it out and just let it play out. But we certainly welcome that conversation. We're not trying to hide it. We're being very transparent about it. But for now, as we were putting these numbers together, it was that were kind of all happening at the same time. And that's kind of the approach that we decided to take. Garrison may want to give you a little bit more about the administrative steps that are happening, though. It's probably good for you to hear that.
Garrison?
Hey, this is Garrison Marr, the senior manager of Power Supply, and I would like to give some more information on the administrative steps. So we're in a settlement process now. Normally we do the big rate case, right? And that rate case culminates in an administrative record of decision, draft decision in July of next year. So normally we don't have the information that we're getting very close to until well into next year. But we're in a settlement process, and BPA has asked folks to say, do you support this? Do you object to this? To see if we can get to a settlement on this rate case by October 6th. So the information that we have right now is very good, but it's not final. And that's important. So Sarah and her team couldn't have included all of the information from this settlement with certainty moving forward. But what I would like to express that is really positive is that, you know, that settlement process looks a lot better based on, you know, the PUD team's engagement in that. It looks like potentially where we could get to relative to where we started is multiple millions of dollars more in distribution. And then I would just remind folks that this next rate case, because Bonneville's on a fiscal year calendar and we're on a calendar year calendar, you know, the rate case part of that's only going to be the last 3 months of calendar year 2023 budget. And then the distributions that we might get as a credit back from Bonneville, it would start potentially December 22 and move through November 2023. So still some more details to sort through, but positive on the whole relative to our initial expectations.
Well, I have a lot of concern in the timing. Thank you.
Garrison, this is in the form of credit, right? You talked about credit. It's not cash in the bank.
This would be a bill credit that we would get from Bonneville.
Okay, yep, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks. Yeah.
Commissioner, do you have any questions? No, I think I get it. Big job. And I failed to ask, Allison, do we have anyone in the virtual or on the phone for questions? Now I'll call for a motion to continue the public hearing.
I move the public hearing on the 2023 budget be continued to Tuesday, November 1st, 2022 at 1:30 p.m. at 2320 California Street in Everett.
Call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion is approved. Agenda item six, items for individual consideration. 6A, consideration of a resolution authorizing the Assistant General Manager, Distribution and Engineering Services of Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County to execute an agreement for the joint ownership of utility poles with Northwest Fiber LLC, a Delaware Limited Liability Company, DBA Zipley Fiber. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
And we have Mo with us? Aye. Should we have any questions? We've had multiple briefings on this. Do we have anyone in the online or virtual? All right. Commissioners, do we have any questions?
This is until 2026, right? This.
Well, Matthews, manager, joint use and permits. It's actually effective retroactive to October 1st, which is this other Saturday. It goes until 2027.
27.
Yes. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. It's 1 year off.
No questions. Question? Comment. Here's great work. This is done. Thank you so much.
I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Passes. We will now move on to item six. The consideration of a resolution that is at our places, authorizing investment of district monies in the local government investment pool. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Scott Jones is with us electronically, on the line, virtual. Oh, okay, thank you. Should we have any questions on this, commissioners?
Angela Johnston, senior manager, Treasury and Risk here to answer any questions that you have.
I have no questions. We were pretty thoroughly.
Yes. Commissioner, no, I have none. No, thank you. Allison, do we have anyone on the phone or virtual? All right. I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. We will move on to agenda item 7A, commission reports. Commissioners, do we have any reports this afternoon?
I don't.
Okay.
Everything here.
I will now move on to our events calendar 7B. Do we have any comments on our events calendar?
No changes.
Just clarifying, Allison. We've got Arlington ribbon cutting on the 25th of October and Qualco on the 27th. Okay.
I wanted to mention that on October 14th, we have the Washington State Solar Summit. I'm going to be taking the link down from Northgate because parking is very limited there. And they are recommending that my recommendation that people take the link from wherever they are. They could get to a parking at one of the link stations. So they have very limited parking at this particular place. And guess what? The link stops right in front of the event location. So Cecilia or Celicia or something like that. Anyway, it's down in Beacon Hill, in the Beacon Hill area. And so it's really easy to get on the link wherever you can. So
this girl is linking to Zoom.
Oh, you're not going in person?
No, I'm going to attend the day's activities Zoom.
You want to Zoom it?
I'm going to Zoom.
Okay.
Okay. So do we have anything more on our events calendar? We now move on to 7C, the 2022 budget forecast and major project status report, August. Do we have any questions, comments? Sarah is here to answer any questions you might have.
No questions. Thank you for all the updates on the project.
Yeah.
Give me a sec here. A lot of work being done on the one page that shows changes in terms of working in projects. That's a lot of yellow in terms of what's going on. All right. Do we have anyone with us on virtual? Okay. We will now move on to agenda item 70, consideration of a resolution of recognition, appreciation, and best wishes to General Counsel
and Al Spangler. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Commissioner Olson, may I read the resolution?
Absolutely.
A resolution of recognition, appreciation, and best wishes to General Counsel Ann L. Spangler. Whereas Ms. Spangler has deftly served as the General Counsel for Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County, Washington, the district, since 2008. And whereas, as Ms. Spangler has been a steadfast leader through challenging times, a trailblazer for the environment and women in the utility industry, a mentor to many employees, and has twice stepped in to serve as interim CEO General Manager. And whereas Ms. Spangler played a significant role in the 2012 settlement of the Residential Exchange Program administrated by the Bonneville Power Administration, ending a decades-long period of conflict and litigation with Bonneville and regional industrial-owned utilities. And whereas with Ms. Spangler's collaboration and support, the district was successful in completing the Fitzgerald Substation, Woods Creek Hydroelectric Project, Hancock Creek Hydroelectric Project, Calvin Creek Hydroelectric Project, and relicensing the Jackson Hydroelectric Project. And whereas Ms. Spangler had the foresight to create the Data, Information, and Governance DIG office, championing data privacy and security policies and practices that customers and employees are concerned with more than ever. And whereas Ms. Spangler has been an instrumental leader in several significant milestones in the history of the district, including strategic planning, forming the Environmental Advisory Team and the Women in Public Power Group, and navigating the unprecedented COVID-19 pandemic. And whereas Ms. Spangler has provided valuable insight, perspective, and guidance to the water utility, no matter how large or small the issue or project may seem. And whereas the district has benefited greatly from having a highly regarded and skilled general counsel, and the calm, collaborative, and caring manner in which Ms. Spangler has conducted herself, the staff and stakeholders has been central to the district's success. Now, therefore, be it resolved on behalf of the district and its ratepayers, the Board of Commissioners of Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County, Washington, bestows its heartfelt thanks to Ann L. Spangler for assuming the duties and responsibility of general counsel of the district for the period of May 5th, 2008 to October 14th, 2022, and extend its best wishes to Ms. Spangler in retirement and beyond. Ask and approve this third day of October.
Set me straight. We do have a motion on the table.
We do.
And I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Now we would like you to join us.
Oh my.
Yeah. Each of us took some plants and we grew these. It just came together so perfectly.
Yes, oh, they're wonderful. You framed it and everything. I'm going to put this down. If I stand up here. How about that? Cool, huh?
Put that up and you could
talk
to me.
Yes, here we go.
Well, commissioners.
Well, Ann, I guess I'll start out. Thank you so much. You made me feel so welcome when I came on and were so helpful. Like, we understand my role and you've always given great counsel and advice. And as the resolution says, you always approach things in a calm manner and appreciate that.
Thank you.
With everybody, but with attorneys, but yes. So thank you so much for your service. Enjoy your retirement.
Well, I want to say I love and appreciate the law. And I think you do too. I know you do, and you have a great team, great staff. And there's so much that goes unnoticed, like all of those resolutions that we read. You guys have to work on it and get it right. And so not thank you enough for all of that. So
I have something to say, but I'm gonna look out here and nod at you because I'll cry.
She's gonna make me cry.
I have a long history with Ann. And from a public official's perspective, you know, she knows elected boards and their unique needs. And that's a valued a skill. It really is. And a lot of them don't get it, but Ann gets it. And three different commissioners, three different levels of what they're bringing to the table. It's tough. And you know, I know that when she brings something to me, it's been fully vetted. It gives equal consideration to all aspects of the issue, even beyond dollars and cents. And she knows this commissioner is always talking about exposure. And doggone it, she doesn't shy away from us. We can be pretty testy, manipulative, but she holds her ground. And you know, for me, there has got to be a trust level between the elected body and general counsel who gives us advice. And she has built that for me, trust and confidence in her. And she really exemplifies all the good qualities that a general counsel in the public sector should have, and doggone it, she served them well. So,
thank you so much.
I don't know if we can hug, but.
Thank you, commissioners, so much for this. This is really wonderful. It's been my honor and my joy, mostly joy, always. To serve QD and customers, and I really have to express appreciation for all the wonderful people I've met here, been able to work with, all the initiatives we've been able to build, for the support from the leadership team, for all the extra duties as assigned that I've tried to create, and
you got a lot of those.
And for my team, I mean, my team has been really rock solid in helping support me, and they've done a really wonderful job. I can't thank them enough. Without them, I wouldn't look as good as I do. They're all still here. To the ELT for helping support me over the years, for listening to me, and so. It's been really wonderful. The hardest part is leaving. There's so much interesting work going on.
You can always change.
It's really hard. Yeah, I know everyone is telling me that. Yes. So I will miss you all.
Questions.
Show up at your meetings.
Oh, please do.
Record request.
When the board is deliberating on
yes.
settlement, we can call her, have her with us and shake.
There you go.
And finally, I'd like to give you, I don't even know what's in there, but you just enjoy it, whatever it is.
And you, shall I open it?
I don't know what's in it.
Oh, well, you can know. I hope it's just a thank you card. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, this is really wonderful, a signed card from the board. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I miss you all.
This is Guy Payne, Assistant General Manager of DD Services. And since John can't be here, I'd like to just mention a few things. I think I can speak on behalf of the executive leadership team and our CEO, General Manager John Harlow, when I say that you have definitely been a voice of reason and common sense for all of us. And your suggestions are always well thought out, grounded, and valuable. You're often the go-to person for so many of us across the district, and you're definitely going to be missed. Thank you for sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, and guidance with us. You have made a huge difference for us, the district, and our customers. And I would only add, can I have your phone number? Because I'm really uncomfortable moving forward without you.
Sure.
This is a tough one for me. Okay. We are now moving on to our governance planning calendar. Agenda item 8A. Do we have any questions or on the planning calendar?
I have not. I'm looking forward to the Baltimore tour. I've not seen it before. I have an Inner Northwest meeting that day. So as soon as we know what time of day it was, I might try to attend the Inner Northwest meeting electronically.
What was the one you didn't want to miss?
Welcome.
Welcome, yeah.
You've never been there.
Oh, yeah, fun.
I've got my cowboy boots on.
Hi, yes. Do we have any more items to be brought to this guy? Hey, guy. Do you have any more items for this afternoon?
No.
Right. Hearing none, it is 2:27 p.m. and we are adjourned.